What in the world is going on here?
My first thought, legit, is somebody on Ozempic.
Oh, ew.
I'm not even being gross. I've heard it.
Okay, no, that's not, no.
It's not Ozempic.
That's not Ozempic.
Like blowing it out. Okay.
Nope, that's not it. Anybody else? Any guesses?
Does somebody play one more time?
Okay.
Is it somebody plunging in a toilet?
No.
Oh. It sounds like something in a toilet. What do you think, Jason?
Well, it sounds like an animal to me, so I don't.
Okay, well, here's your hint. It is human. It is an 800-year-old tradition where Germans are calling for deer.
Does it work?
That's a deer call?
That's a deer call.
It's a longer clip. There it is again.
Uh-huh.
So weird sounding. I mean,
that's what a deer sounds like?
That is so weird.
I had no idea that that's what a buck sounded like. But apparently it is. It's in Germany, and they've been doing this call, which, by the way, has a bunch of men in lined up, and they have these long wooden tubes with their mouths wrapped around it, and they're like breathing into it.
I want to get one. Give me one of them fart sticks.
Kind of reminds me of the Vuvuzela. Remember
those? Yeah, those were cool.
Yeah, but then they banned them
because they're like too annoying. But yeah, those were fun.
But yeah, it's they do this competition. 800 years they've been doing it. 800-year-old tradition. It's a simple tool. They'll use like horns or shells or like this handcrafted long wooden tube, and it kind of slides, and apparently it mimics a young deer. Like it's calling out, and then the older deer are supposed to respond. I don't know. I didn't know that's what deer sound like.
Interesting.
Yeah. You know, the thing for me, and what people do what they want, especially if they eat the meat, then I have no problem with that at all. But like deer hunting, is that the easiest thing to hit? I mean, I've hit like four with my car.
I have no idea.
They're not very elusive.
I have no idea.
I mean, they come to you sometimes. But
so, yeah, where they're not, well, I guess where they're not supposed to be, but also like it is their land. And where else are they supposed to go?
And then like if you put a light on them, they freeze.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not much of a sport.
I don't know.
Deer seem to be getting more brave.
Yeah.
They used to run right away, but now it's like I had a one-on-one with a deer. I was on my street and the deer was on somebody's backyard, side backyard. And I looked at the deer, and it was just staring at me back. We got in a staring competition. I was like, is this deer going to attack me?
Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it makes me sad. I know.
Yeah, I know.
I know, because here comes the animal activist. But where else are they supposed to go?
No, it's not their fault.
It's not, you know, and like they're getting more brazen because.
Well, the woods.
We're building in the woods.
You're taking the woods away.
And where are they supposed to eat? How are they supposed to hunt? How are they, you know?
Yeah.
Makes me very sad.
I mean, when I totaled the Tesla when the deer hit it.
Yeah.
I told you, the one guy, the insurance adjuster, just one, for one company in one small section of this area, said my car was the 17th like total that week of hitting a deer.
My gosh.
That week.
Yeah.
And he's just one guy with one adjuster of, you know, probably 20, 30, 40, 50 in this area.
Mm-hmm.
He said it's out of control.
You do live in a more rural type area where there's probably more deer coming out of the woods.
He also drives a lot.
A ton, yeah.
Compared to, I mean, me.
I mean, the road was going, it was closer to your house, Jason.
Well, that's rural. I mean, except for my neighborhood.
Yeah.
It's pretty rural out there,
right? It is. Very.
I have seen them driving in the morning right on like one of the main streets here.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Coming in. Yep.
There's no woods around here.
That's because they're being forced out. They're trying to find food, trying to find water.
Well, don't they, every once in a while, they say, well, we have to kind of hunt them because of the population is getting too big?
Yeah. So every year, growing up in Pennsylvania, Quarryville, Pennsylvania, my mom would put reflective vests on us, not kidding, to go outside and play.
I get it as a parent now.
Yeah. At the time, we were like, this is the worst.
Like, go play. If you put this on, they won't shoot you.
It's for real.
That's for hunters to see you?
Yeah, because during hunting season, we lived in the middle of cornfields. And then up at they were all lined with very heavy, thick woods. And we would go out and play all the time with our dog. She had one too. She had like a little thing that my mom put on her because hunters were everywhere.
Right.
And so it was like, well, what are you supposed to do? Just sit inside all the time? No.
Right.
No. We didn't play at night or anything, but it was dusk.
How old were you?
I was there in Pennsylvania from kindergarten until right before I started high school.
Oh, I mean, so I didn't know you were there that long. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
Did
huh?
you have any friends?
Did I?
Well, yeah, if you're like, out in the rural area like that.
I went
that.
To school.
No, I know
you
that.
You did? This is all news to me.
Wait, school up there?
Wait, are you
homeschooling? You're right.
Next you're going to say you're a woman?
Yeah.
No, I don't know. Say barely. Barely. In my neighborhood, everybody gets to, you know, play and run around and use their scooters with like eight kids.
Yeah.
Where when I was growing up, I was in a more rural area and I hated it because in order for me to play, I had to make arrangements for drop-offs and pickups. It was such a pain. I couldn't just walk out of the house and eight kids be there.
Yeah, we did have neighbors, but I mean, they weren't close. We had to drive to their house.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. But we hung out with them. My mom was also best friends with their mom. And so in order to be social, we would go to their house a lot or they'd come to ours. But then we also, you know, during the summer, we went to the pool every single day from open to close. And then we went to school during, play dates were not like a thing. For
us. Yeah, it's harder when if you don't have like a neighborhood.
Well, you used to live on a road like that too, right, Jared?
Yeah, no, two times. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's the one thing, the only thing that I don't miss about the custom house that I lost in the divorce. No, we settled on it. But was that there was no neighborhood attached. Mm-hmm. Like, you'd have to go drive. If the kids wanted to play, you had to go, or friends, you had to go. There's like a neighborhood like kind of to the side,
mm-hmm.
but it was like only five houses in that one, and it was all old people.
What about the...
But where I live now, I love it.
The house that you... I don't know if you grew up in.
Yeah, Horsepin Creek was right on the main road. I mean, luckily it was at the top of a series of neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
So we would just go back there. I had tons of friends in that neighborhood.
And but now it's changed so much in that area.
Oh
that
my
it's
gosh.
Nuts.
Yeah, no. So that wasn't bad. The house that I had with Kelly, it wasn't attached to any neighborhood. Like the other one, there was seriously like 400 homes behind it. Mm-hmm. So that was just like, we're just at the top of the neighborhood, really.
There also wasn't, I mean, there were obviously sports. It's not like there were sports.
How
but
old are you?
It's not like it is today at all. I mean, at least for us growing up, we were very rural. We were very like in the middle of Amish country, Pennsylvania. But so we didn't have, like, if you didn't play sports at school, you really weren't playing sports anywhere else.
I see.
Because it was, you know, we
Why did your parents want to live there?
My dad worked for Reynolds Aluminum, which is the foil, and his biggest account was Hershey. So we were very close to Hershey, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, but
so
why didn't you want to live in a neighborhood?
There. I don't know. That's where they chose. I have no idea. Yeah. I didn't pick it.
Yeah.
I mean, growing up, looking back now, it's like it was the most beautiful childhood ever.
Right.
It was the best. I don't know why, because it was an old farmhouse. We even had a silo. The silo wasn't there anymore, but the silo pad was still there.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to ramp our bikes on the silo pad. And I mean, it was the ice skate on the fields when they would freeze over and stuff. It was the best, but I don't know.
When you're a kid, it's just like, it is what it is. And we don't think anything different.
This is just my house.
Yeah.
So.
No, I like living on a cul-de-sac now because I didn't have that at all growing up. I mean, I had a neighborhood I played in, but being on the main road, you can't just go out in your front yard. It's kind of like, there's so much traffic and stuff.
Well, when I hear my kids talk about being bored, I'm like,
yeah, you live in a huge neighborhood.
Quiet.
Yeah.
You have bikes, you have play dates, we take you to all these sporting events, we do all these fun things, and they're bored.
I know. Those two words should be banned.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We said we were bored growing up. That meant you were going to be put to work.
Yeah, you want
to
do some chores?
So I don't even care if you were the most bored. You found something.
Yeah, exactly.
Just to pretend.